Hello and welcome to the latest episode of Harmonious World. I'm Hilary Seabrook. In this episode, I'm joined by drummer Gustavo Contiñas, whose album Live in Chicago is out now. This is a snapshot of Contiñas' musical journey. It was recorded in Chicago, funnily enough, in December 2022. And these tracks are very much raw, unedited versions of these tracks written by Gustavo Contiñas. What you're listening to now is the start of Overture, which is, funnily enough, the start of the album. And you can hear the complexity of his writing, which is really, really interesting. I can't wait to speak to Gustavo and to hear about whether he's coming to Europe anytime soon. Well, I hope you enjoy listening into our conversation. Hey, Gustavo.
How you doing, Hilary?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
Doing pretty great today. No complaints over here.
Excellent. So you're in Chicago, right?
In Chicago, yes. It's noon over here. It's probably 6 p.m. over there or something.
That's it. Thank you for joining me on Harmonious World. It's a great pleasure to talk to you, and I love this album.
Thank you so much, Hilary. It's my pleasure to be here. I appreciate it. And I love the concept, Harmonious World.
It was a lockdown project that's just become so much more.
That's beautiful. The lockdown left some great things to us then.
Yeah, absolutely. Amid all of the madness and the awful tragedy stuff, that, you know, there have been some good things.
Mm-hmm.
This album was recorded, as it says, live in Chicago in December 2022. So what made you get these musicians together, get these tracks together, and record this kind of snapshot of you in Chicago?
Well, it's a long time coming, I would say. These are musicians that I've had relationships with. I've been in Chicago now for close to 15 years, 14 years in Chicago. And it's been a wild ride, and I've developed so many beautiful musical and human connections, you know, and community connections. And particularly with these musicians, we've been playing with the bass player. I've been playing since 2011. The saxophonist since 2012, as well as the piano player and the trombone player since 2014. I think the trumpet player, we started playing in 2016. So that's like the youngest, but they're really long-standing musical relationships, I would say. And throughout this time, I've also been developing my body of work, both as a composer and as a producer. And so these are all compositions that I've been playing with these musicians throughout the past 10 years, I would say. And they have developed in a very unique way with these musicians. And so it was kind of like a long time coming to document not only the development of the compositions, but the development of the ensemble and the long improvisation and dialogue and intimate setting that we develop playing with these group of colleagues, friends, combat. Yeah.
I've, as well as listening to the tracks, I've actually watched some of the video, and it's very interesting because there is a, you can tell that these are not people that you got in just for this recording, because there are little moments of for a start, everybody is really, really focused, but then there are moments of, you know, those visual facial, you know, moments between that pass between members of the band. It's lovely to watch.
That's beautiful. Yeah, it's We developed like a little language between ourselves, and we know the tunes so well, and we know each other so well that we just have fun treating these tunes that are only 10 or 12, 13 years old, but treating them as standards and turning them upside down. And we develop little jokes and intricacies and stuff like that. And so we'll poke at each other throughout the music, and also surprise each other, you know, because despite the fact that we've been playing for so long together, we know this music so much, and we keep growing individually and as a band. And so every night is going to still be a surprise, and that's like really beautiful. And that night was full of really nice surprises.
Yeah, you can tell because there are just moments, there's little moments that you just catch a glimpse of, which is really nice. So I'm going to start this podcast with an extract from Overture from the very beginning, because I love what I particularly like about this track is the complexity of the rhythms that you lay down. And then these really tight brass harmonies. Now, so you obviously are the composer of this stuff. How did you learn to write those harmonies, particularly with the brass?
I would say, first thing I would say, maybe a little geeky or maybe just a trajectory thing, but I remember right before going to college, for music, I took a year off, and I was studying a lot of drums, trying to prepare myself so that I could get a scholarship, so that I could go to college for music. And I remember being particularly centered at the time with the idea of not being just a drummer, but wanting to be a musician. And so from that very time before college, I remember I was a friend hooked me up with a friend of his who was a musician, and I was taking weekly piano and harmony and counterpoint lessons with them,
Right.
which really enlightened my perception of the tradition of Western music theory and Western harmony, and it opened up a new world to all of that, you know. And then so part of it comes from that study, and the other part comes from listening to a bunch of music. Particularly, I'm particularly inspired by, for example, Art Blakey and the Jazz Messengers, and they have that three horn line going on, and the types of harmonies that get produced with that, and kind of playing around. I'm very influenced also. I even wrote to him once. There's a really incredible saxophonist here in Chicago called Jeff Bradfield, and he's got a record called Roots, which is a tribute to the music of Lead Belly. And I remember listening to that record, and he's on saxophone, and he's got a Marquise Hill on trumpet, and I think perhaps Joel Adams is on trombone. But what I really love is the way Jeff played with that combination of horns, because it's not only a harmony layout, but it's a way of working out with texture, and not the same horn doesn't have to have the melody all the time, and you don't have to have the same type of voicing, but you can play with all of that and get different colors and textures out of the horns. And between the Messengers and a bunch of records, but I want to particularly take a bow to that record by Jeff Bradfield. That was very, very inspiring. And then, of course, like the studying of Western tradition of harmony and music, you know.
So that all comes out in that bit. So that's perfect. So I'm really glad that my listeners got to hear a bit of that at the beginning of this. At this point in the podcast, I'd really like to play. And now, forgive my Spanish. La Balada de León.
La balada de León, yes.
Okay. Which has got a fantastic solo by that starts with the Artie Black.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So how much of that was composed and how much of it was improvised?
Oh, 0% of that was composed.
Okay.
Yeah, the solo is completely all arty. Of course, what I really like, both in the jazz tradition, and we can take this back to Bach, this idea of these cadenzas that are improvisational sequences that happen as a introduction to a piece, or even as a outro to a piece, you know. And yes, it's an improvised piece, but the really, like, the masters of this, and I believe Artie is a master of this, grab motifs and intricate little parts of the composition to weave there, so that it sounds like it belongs, you know. And I think Artie does a great job at fusing that and bringing that tradition together, you know.
Yeah, he really does. And actually, as you say, that cadenza that opens it, it introduces stuff that you hear later, which he obviously has heard before he's done his bit. So tell me a bit about your background.
Absolutely. How far back do we want to go?
As far back as you like. Where did the music start?
So I grew up in Mexico City. My parents were both academics and particularly teachers. My mom was special ed, and also was a principal and a teacher in different public schools in Mexico, and worked for the schools in the Public Education Bureau in Mexico City. And then my father taught law at the national universities. They were both intellectuals, and they both exposed me to a bunch of music from a very early age. And music meant a lot of things. You know, there was, of course, things that I remember playing at home, of course, like the Beatles, also Beethoven and Wagner and Edith Piaf, and of course growing up in Mexico, so being exposed to the amazing singing of people like Chavela Vargas, who's kind of like my hero, one of my favorite singers in history. And so being exposed to all of that, and that variety of rhythms that come from Mexican folklore that you hear even when you're not into it, you know, because you hear it on the bus, you hear it on the market, you hear it in parties, and it's and it becomes part of who you are. And so there's this kind of combination of all those influences that went around because of Mexico and community, or because of my parents, or maybe because I was a teenager and I was rocking out. So rock en español was also a huge part of all of that. And bringing all those things together and following the trail, you know, that's one of the coolest things about music. Spotify kind of does it for people now, for good and or bad. But when I was growing up, if you liked one band, you would be like, okay, well, somebody liked that band, what else do you like? And you would kind of would follow like the trail of crumbs and find other music that you were really, really into. In jazz, sometimes it's easier in that way because you're like, oh, on what other record was this guy that I love? That's a pretty cool trail of crumbs to follow around, you know? And so just kind of trying to bring all that together. I think it's a little tricky, if I may say, the topics of identity, you know, because sometimes we grow up with some rigid ideas and conceptions of identity. And it takes some time in your early adulthood, hopefully, to be able to accept all those little parts of who you are, you know. And so all of that came to me growing up in Mexico. And I fell in love with the drums growing up as a teenager. And after falling in love with the drums and studying drums, I would say that's a pretty usual thing that eventually somebody's going to drop a book of jazz coordination in front of you, you know, because it's a very particular way of approaching the drums. And that itself and its syncopation opened up another door and going to a master class. I always pay tribute to a great drummer by the name Dave Weckl, who I went to a master class of his in Mexico, and it changed my life. It showed me the possibilities that were behind the drum set and the music. And honestly, that is what started me listening to more jazz, which in turn is what made me want to study music in New Orleans and be exposed to that tradition of music. And that later on sent me to Chicago. And so it's the conciliation of all those little pieces of history and of music with my own history, and trying to always find what resonated the most with me, and see what forged my identity within all of that, you know?
Yeah, that's really interesting. There's also there is something about the European tradition that seems to be within this album.
Oh.
Where's that? I don't know. Where does that come from? Does that just come from studying, or have you got a have you been to Europe a few times? How's that come into
I've
your
been
music?
times, but like I said, when it, in terms of music, I mean, my dad had Wagner, Beethoven, and Bach playing at home all the time. He was a huge fan of all this music. To those who know, I don't know if you know what the Ring Cycle is.
Of course, yes.
I've seen the Ring Cycle live, all of it,
Wow.
and I was a kid. You know, it's not like I would go do that right now, but as a kid, I think it slaps you in the face in a particularly shocking way, you know? And so being exposed to that, I did have the privilege of going to a British school in Mexico City.
All right.
And while I was at that school, I ended up doing IB music. I had a great teacher by the name of Anne Marie Gar, who got me through my IB music and exposed me to the music of Debussy and Béla Bartók, just to name a few, you know. But those two particulars, we did some concentrated studies on La Mer and on the concerto for orchestra of them, and also to jazz. I was exposed to her, and all of those things were very, very influential, you know.
Right.
And also, not to negate the fact that when you go to college in the US, partly maybe because historically jazz has been frowned upon
Yeah.
academic, but a classical music, Western classical music repertoire is always enforced on jazz musicians. The jazz repertoire is not always enforced on classical musicians, so that's a conceptual discussion for another day, but for us, it's a huge, it would be a great benefit to them if they did the other thing. But for us, it's an amazing thing because I had to play with the orchestra, I had to play timpani, I had to play snare and cymbals, and marimba and a little bit of those instruments, and get my feet wet with all of that. And there's something really, really beautiful about playing in a orchestra or a wind ensemble and laying out for 5 minutes just to play that one cymbal in the magical moment of the piece. And it teaches you a lot about the perspective of music and the meaningfulness of one note, you know.
Yeah,
I
excellent. Yeah. What I would like to end the podcast with is some of Pax Britannica. Now that's an interesting piece. Tell me what's behind that.
Absolutely. We haven't talked too much about this, but one of my prior projects that was released in 2021, called Desafío Candente, which translates to an incandescent act of defiance, was a project that was inspired by the writings of a man by the name Eduardo Galeano, an incredible Uruguayan writer, who, as he said, and I'll quote him on that, he dedicated his life to writing stories that spoke about the people who he felt had been erased from the perspective of history. And this particular record, Desafío Candente, is inspired by his writings on a book called The Open Veins of Latin America, which is book that talks about the history of colonialism in the Americas. And basically, all the titles of the songs of that project are chapters
Ah, right.
from his book. So the Pax Britannica part of it speaks about the history of colonialism, in particularly in Chile and Argentina, and the way that he poses it is about the pacifist way of influence of the British through Chile and Argentina, because and even Paraguay, because there was a lot of times not direct military involvement, but there were other influences happening. And so that piece has a is influenced by a book by two or three rhythms, one called Samba and Chacarera from Argentina, and the Sama Cueca. And so it kind of tries to tell a little bit of that nostalgic story, while bringing the influences from the folkloric rhythms from that region.
Right. Tell me a bit about what the future holds for you. Now I mean, obviously you recorded this a little while ago and it's just come out now. What's next?
So I have recorded already the new album. I've got a new album that I've got scheduled for a release in early 2025. That's going to be my next album over under my own name. It's a very different album. It's got some influences of rock and progressive rock, I would say, but also jazz and a lot of free improvisation. It's got a weird instrumentation. It's got a The instrumentation is violin, saxophone, guitar, and drums. Just a quartet. It's got
Okay.
a violinist by the name Mark Feldman, and a saxophonist by the name Johnny Rabagon, and Dave Miller on the guitar, who are, in my opinion, all legendary musicians that I'm very lucky to be working with. And the title of that project is called The Crisis Knows No Borders.
Okay, that sounds really interesting. I think we'll have to talk about that in the future.
Yes, I would love to. It's kind of focusing on a little bit of what we're going through right now, and how we are all going through it. It's not limited to one place or other, and the ramifications that it's having.
Wow.
Sort of trying to have a little bit of empathy, but also the Desafío Candente record talked a little bit, focused a lot on colonialism and its history, you know. And then I had a record after that called Kind Regards, which is all vocal songs, to which I wrote lyrics and the music and everything. And that one's kind of a project of empathy and trying to build bridges, and understanding in for different cultures and immigration and everything. And this next record, The Crisis Knows No Borders, is a little bit more of an angry record, I would say. It's about so the previous records were about understanding how we got where we're at and kind of building a little bit of empathy. And this next record is a little bit of a
Right.
why the hell are we still here, and why are we not doing anything about it?
Excellent. That sounds really, really good. I will definitely get you on my list for 2025. So brilliant.
I appreciate that.
Fantastic. Well, thank you so much for your time, Gustavo. It was really good to talk to you.
The pleasure was all mine. I really, really, really appreciate you making the time to chat with me and to include me on Harmonious World. It's my pleasure.
Thank you for joining me. I hope you enjoyed listening to that conversation with Gustavo Cortines. That album is a stunning album. And it sounds like the next one, which will be out in 2025, that sounds really good as well. So there's lots going on. Look at the show notes for the links to his stuff and you can hear more about it. So what you're listening to now is, as I said, some of Pax Britannica. And I hope you enjoyed listening in. Thanks for joining me once more for A Harmonious World. Thank you for listening to the latest episode of Harmonious World. My name is Hilary Seabrook, and it's a great delight to bring this series of discussions with musicians and composers and writers and all sorts of people to you. Obviously, there's no point in having a podcast if people aren't listening, and I'm very grateful to my listeners for doing so. Thanks also to Joe English for composing and performing this new theme tune. So wherever you get your podcast, you can leave a review. You can share this with your friends and family, either as a link or on social media and that sort of thing. I'd be really grateful for that. Don't forget that you can subscribe now. There's a link wherever you get your podcasts. So have a great week, and please remember why I started this, which is just to try and make the world a little more harmonious. Thanks for listening to Harmonious World.